Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about a pattern of gentleness. You know, our goal in the Abundant Life Blueprint, if you're new to the Abundant Life Blueprint, this whole program started for me with Proverbs 13:22, which says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." And that verse got me thinking, what's more valuable than money that I could pass on to my children, hopefully grandchildren one day? And the book of Proverbs tells us that wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones. And so I made it my goal to accumulate and to pass on lessons for every area of life. And it turned into a whole program with books and courses and all these things. But when we narrow down everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, first thing we do is we set the target. We set the goal of making other people great. That's our target. That's our goal. That's why God put us here, to make the people around us better and to make other people great. Now, there's some keys to greatness. Jesus says if we want to become great in the kingdom, then we have to become the servant of many. Becoming the servant of many. And one of the ways that we get to that place of becoming the servant of many, one of the keys is developing this pattern of gentleness in our lives. This pattern of gentleness. Psalms 18:35, David says, "God's right hand supported me and his gentleness made me great." His gentleness made me great. So we're going to be talking about gentleness today. Now, if we want to make anybody else great, to be honest, I have no idea how to do that at all. But it comes from God's grace flowing through us. And the number one way to keep us focused on God's grace is taking daily communion, staying plugged into him, abiding in him, staying connected to him is the number one key to that. I believe we're going to take communion over this today about growing in our gentleness, developing this pattern of gentleness. We'll be taking a look at some scriptures on gentleness. But whenever we take communion, we always start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. It's about a two-minute long prayer, mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez. And this is the prayer that I pray every day over myself and family and all those connected to me. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, and to plan our upcoming day with God. And then it's about going about your day, executing, doing the things that you know to do, but also how you execute, how you do the things that you know to do is also important. And taking a more gentle approach is one of the biggest keys. One of the biggest keys to walking in greatness is taking a more gentle approach. You know, I did personal training for, 20 years almost. And one of the things you see in the world of fitness is most people do not want to take a gentle approach. They want to go all or nothing. They've been trained. We've been taught in the world system that it's all or nothing and you got to grind away and do all these things. But taking a gentle approach is one of the biggest keys to greatness. But let's get started with the prayer and then we'll do the other half of prayer and then we'll get into our time of communion here. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all of their families and friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, but most importantly, starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's take just a couple minutes to go through the other half of prayer, and then we'll get into this more on the pattern of gentleness. But looking back over the last day, over the last 24 hours, what were your wins? What were your wins or the steps forward that you took, the things that went well? If you don't have any, you can say, what are the things that you're grateful for? Just getting our minds fixed and positioned, focusing on God, focusing on what he's up to in our lives, focusing on the good that's happening. You know, we focus on the bad or the good. Whichever one you focus on, you're going to get more of. And so just positioning our minds first into gratitude and focusing on the light, focusing on what's going well, focusing on what God's up to in our lives. Focusing on that first. Then, how are your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last 24 hours? And remember, it's like a light switch. Either God's supernatural peace and joy and confidence in him are flowing or they are not. And God has given us his love, his peace, his joy, his power. He's given us everything he has, and he's given it to us in Christ. But it's up to us. We got to see this flowing in our lives. We got to see this flowing in our life. And it's learning to take the pressure off of ourselves and to rely and trust on what God put on the inside of us. That's why we pray in the prayer we just prayed, God, enlighten our hearts to know everything. This treasure that you put on the inside of us. Help us to know that and to get out of the way and see that flowing through us in our lives. Now, emotions are also indicators. Emotions are indicators. They're feedback, letting you know what's going on in your heart. They're letting you know, are you focused on living in the present moment, or are you dwelling on the past or worrying about the future? Your emotions are going to let you know. If you're feeling a lack of joy, a lack of happiness, all these types of things, those are indicators that you're not living in the present moment, that you're worried about the future, you're dwelling on the past, these types of things. A lack of peace means, hey, I might be believing something in my heart that's not true. Or, hey, it might mean my thoughts are divided. I'm wavering back and forth between what God said and the circumstances. I'm living by my feelings and by what I see rather than by faith. Because whenever faith comes, I like to think of peace and faith come as a pair together. They come as a pair. Whenever I'm truly in faith, there's peace that comes along with it. Peace and joy come along as side effects of living by faith. And so it's indicators. And if something's consistently knocking you off track, so something to pay attention to, if there's an area of life that keeps stealing your peace, stealing your joy, it might be a situation, maybe it's health or finances, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a certain person that just gets under your skin and knocks you out of peace and joy, frustrates you, annoys you, whatever it may be. Is learning to get it back and to say, you know what, God, what you put in me is more than enough to handle this and still flow through these issues of life with peace and joy, because you are more than enough. Father, help me to tap into this and to cultivate higher levels so that when this comes at me again, I have more than enough. I just handle it with beauty and grace and ease and poise, because God's more than enough on the inside of you. And then what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, sometimes we have all these things that we know to do and they start piling up on the inside. And the more those things pile up, the more it blocks your clarity. You feel foggy in the brain. The more it blocks your clarity, the more it blocks your ability to hear clearly from God. I can't tell you how many people I've seen that we teach this to, and you just start doing the things that you know to do. And all of a sudden they start saying, hey, I'm hearing from God so much more clearly. I feel so much mentally more clear. Because when you start letting things pile up on the inside, it blocks your clarity. So what do you know to do? What are those lists of things that you know you need to get done? And what can you get done today? Things you know to do, errands, things around the house, things in your conscience that keep popping up. And then we want to get past those. We want to start clearing those things out. But then we want to get to the deeper stuff. What's God stirring you to do in your life? What's he prompting you to do in your life? What are those steps of faith that he's prompting you to take in your life? And you begin to walk those things out, and his voice begins to lead you to this beautiful place as just one day stacks on top of another. Is any one day of doing this going to make that big of a difference? No. But when you start to stack one day on top of another, it starts to compound over time, and it will lead you places that you could never get unless you take that first step and the second step, the third step, these types of things. And then just a simple question. And if you need to take a second to pause the recording and just listen, that's perfectly fine. God, what is the most important thing you're trying to teach me over the last day that you want me to get out of the last day? And if you'll take just a minute or two just to get still and to listen. He's always trying to teach us. He's always trying to train us. And whatever comes to mind, just write it down. Don't make it overly complicated. Whatever comes into your mind during that time, just begin to write it down. Don't worry about, oh, was that God? Was that not God? All these, just write it down. And as you'll do that, you'll begin to see, and you'll begin to, as you do this more and more, you're going to get, it's a practice that you're developing your ability to hear his voice more clearly. So let's talk about this pattern of gentleness today. Like I said, our goal in life, what God put us here to do is to make each other great. Life is so much richer when you're surrounded by people and you're in community with people who are making you great, who are bringing out the best in you. You know, I like to say we have an individual purpose, but that individual purpose is meant to serve the community of people around you. But it's also, you can't walk in the highest levels of your purpose without people around you helping you step into that. And so we're made to live in this community of people. I think that's why God even created us. He didn't want to be alone. He wanted people around him bringing the best out of him. And he could do that for us. I like to think of this. God is the source of greatness. God is the one who makes us great. It's not that we figure out how to do it on our own. It comes by grace. It's a gift of grace because it's part of who he is. He says he is a great king. I believe it's in Malachi. Jesus says, I am a great king. God's talking about Jesus. I am a great king. And he is the source of greatness. And one of the keys to this greatness is just this very simple idea of gentleness. And one of the biggest things I want to touch on today in gentleness is just the way we speak. Speaking with gentleness. But let's get started here with the verse on gentleness from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is the Apostle Paul talking. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we are starting in verse 6. It says, we're not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. So notice Paul saying, we didn't want to be a burden to you. Our goal was to make you great. Our goal was to be a blessing. In all of our relationships, either you're a fountain or you're a drain. Either you're a fountain giving life and bringing the best out of people, or you're a drain sucking the life out of them, sucking the potential out of them. Paul says, we didn't want to be a burden to you. We wanted to give you life. We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. So Paul's trying to disciple. He's trying to bring these people up. He's trying to make them great. And it's all motivated. It's all prompted by love. He says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. They wanted to do life together, kind of like we were talking about. So let's take a look. Now, unfortunately, on this path to making other people great, sometimes we're going to encounter difficult people that just refuse to change, refuse to grow, refuse to do things a different way. And we're going to look at a verse here from 2 Timothy talking about the servant of God. Doesn't need to quarrel with these people. It's important to still keep your gentleness, even with dealing with people who are pushing your buttons. So we're going to see here 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 24. It says here, and the Lord's servant, we're supposed to be the servant of many, serving God. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. So don't get into fights with people. Instead, everyone must be kind. You must be kind to everyone. So be kind to everyone, able to teach, Now, Jesus says some of the keys to greatness in the kingdom of God, you must practice the commandments and teach them. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to practice the commandments. What does that mean? You need to do the things that you know to do. To walk in love, to stay connected to God, you need to walk in these things. You need to do the things that you know to do, but you also need to be able to teach them. At a certain point, you can only continue to grow by teaching it to other people. So the servant of God must not quarrel. He should be kind to everybody. He's able to teach, not resentful. And those who oppose him, notice you're going to encounter some difficult people sometimes. Those that oppose him, he must gently instruct. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct. Doesn't mean you jump on him. Doesn't mean you fight with him. Doesn't mean you quarrel with him. You gently instruct. And why do you do it that way? In the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So the devil works through people. And I like to think of it this way. Either we're slaves to God, we're obedient to God, we're following his leading in our life, or it might just be a case where we're just sitting still and idle doing nothing, or people are following, you know, they're prompted by fear and insecurity and these types of things, and the devil has taken them captive and they're being obedient to him going in that direction. So what do we do when we encounter difficult people? It's only grace and gentleness, I believe, that can soften people's hearts. It's only grace and gentleness that can soften people's hearts. Those who oppose you, gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. So let's take a look at a couple other verses real quick on gentleness. It says, this is Proverbs 25:15. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Notice the power of gentleness. A gentle tongue can break a bone. A gentle tongue can soften people's hearts. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer or a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Just this idea of the power of a gentle tongue. And so the question becomes, what's your pattern? This month of July, we're talking about favor with God and man, having to do with our patterns and our relationships. What's our patterns in our relationships? How do you respond in this area of gentleness when we're teaching and we're instructing and we're dealing with people, and especially when you're encountering maybe difficult people? How do you handle them? Do you keep your gentleness? Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Think of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. If you read through the New Testament, you're going to see so many verses that talk about the gentleness that's found in Christ and just taking a more gentle approach. So as we break this bread in communion today, this is a reminder, just meditating on God's love for us, that he has taken a gentle approach with us. He's been gentle with us. He could have been harsh with us, but he gave us the gentle approach. He gave us his grace, which gave us the time and the opportunity to repent. We saw that gentleness led to repentance. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance, and says. And just taking this gentle approach, God took this gentle approach with us that gave us the opportunity and the time to repent and to turn and to get to know him and to grow in our relationship with him. And that from this point on, when we break this bread, it's going to be a turning point. I'm going to start walking at higher and higher levels of this gentleness. And where did God put this? It's the fruit of the Spirit. God put this on the inside of you. You've already got all the gentleness you'll ever need on the inside of you. Now it's simply about walking in it. And this gentleness is a key to greatness. For God making you great, he's taken a gentle approach with you. And then as you let that gentleness flow through you to other people, we begin to make them great as well. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. We thank you that you took a gentle approach with us, that you wanted us in your life, that you gave us your great love, your steadfast, unfailing love, and you took a gentle approach with us, giving us the time and the opportunity to turn, to change our ways and to connect with you. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said this very simple thing: take it, receive it. Receive what? That Jesus makes you right with God. You have his blessing and favor, and he's taking a gentle approach with you. Like a nursing mother, he's trying to lead you on this path to life. And it's simply receiving that, letting it flow through us, learning to do the same for other people in our lives. And it leads to greatness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and what it represents. In Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. We have this new covenant with you. You've given us your steadfast, unfailing love and your gentleness. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm gentle." Jesus is gentle. And there's two sides of him. You see the side of him that's flipping over tables, getting mad at the religious leaders. But then he's also gentle. "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and I'm going to be gentle with you. I'm going to lead you on this gentle path." Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. In Jesus' name. So now, hopefully we've received that from God. He's taken a gentle approach with us. Now it's simply about walking it out, receiving that from him, walking it out, taking a more gentle approach. Start with your words. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Start with your words, taking a more gentle approach with your words. And then in everything you do, how can you take a more gentle approach rather than this all or nothing? How can you take a more gentle approach with everything you do and just see it grow and grow and compound over time? But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you know, our goal is to build this community of people who are making each other great. If you'd like to be part of that, you can join us at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.